Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umeb, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine on another beautiful weekend in our Pacific Northwest. And it looks like, as I was looking at the weather at work yesterday, it was like, wow, another whole week of lots of sunshines.
You know, when
and
you listen to the news and you hear about the triple digits everywhere in the country, I always say a little prayer of thanks.
Yes, I'll be happy with my high of 85 and my, you know, 75 degree sunshiny weather, which is what it looks like for us all this weekend, right into next week. Next weekend is my mother's memorial that we're doing. And we had already had a lake house rented and ready to go for her birthday. She would have been 92. She passed away about a month and about 6 weeks ago. And we thought, you know what? Let's keep that date because everyone was planning on coming. So we're going to be outside and it looks like it's going to work out just fine, right by a lake, like what she would like. With the whole family. So, enjoy your sunshine, enjoy your weather. And if you have a phone call or if you have a question about health or aging or a diagnosis or maybe something you have been struggling with, we would love to talk with you and hopefully give you some information that is helpful. Here's the number to talk with Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umeb. It's 800-465-8770. We're headed south now. We have Tom from Centralia on the line. Hi there, Tom.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Oh,
we
yes.
We can indeed.
Thank you. I had a question in regards to the use of pregnenolone and as at least some sort of amelioration or lessening of the effects of rheumatoid arthritis. I was reading they were using this many, many years ago, or proposing it.
1950s, actually.
And, and of course, this might delve a little bit political, but as you know, I'm sure doctors, that the current biologics are uber expensive drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then of course some of these other things are kind of noxious, like methotrexate. But anyway, I was just wondering your take on that, and just whatever you had to say about it. I might have one other comment about it, but I just want to hear what you had to say about it.
Well, yeah, pregnenolone is not the standard of care, but you know it's kind of fascinating. This is one of those articles I stumbled across. Years and years ago, 1951, there was a paper that involved, I think, seven patients. I was noted as six men and one woman, which in those days we did mostly men in our studies in the 1950s. And so it was a very small study, but they treated people with, I think it was ankylosing spondylitis or rheumatoid arthritis. I forget which of the rheumatoid diseases it was, but they put them on high-dose pregnenolone and got significant improvement in their symptoms, decreased pain, etc. Pregnenolone is a steroid. It's a precursor for progesterone, dehydroepiandrosterone, and cortisol. And so, you know, the theory being, well, were we actually giving them a brain-derived version of cortisol to for their symptoms. It kind of fell out of fashion for decades, probably 50, 60 years. And then in the early 2000s, there were a couple more papers published. And then I think I saw one early this year, which is what brought it to mind, because that then dredged up out of my memory all the old papers I had
seen. Interesting.
That's how my crazy memory works. And so, yeah, pregnenolone is being used to decrease inflammation. And what we're finding is people that have the worst symptoms of these rheumatoid diseases tend to be people with the lowest pregnenolone levels.
Hmm.
And so people that start off with very low pregnenolones get more pain, more swelling, more degeneration. And so then the question is, okay, if we boost their levels back up, can we slow the degenerative process?
Mm.
It's a fascinating question. I'm not sure I have an answer. It makes good sense to, you know, because we use a lot of pregnenolone in our practice, because what we find is that by the time people are in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, their pregnenolone levels tend to be quite low.
Yep.
You know, we get people with pregnenolones of 15 and 20, and we're trying to boost them up close to 100. And that may be part of the reason that so many of our patients with autoimmune diseases and inflammatory processes feel so much better, is we are raising their pregnenolone levels up to far more robust levels than they normally would be at their age.
Right.
We're kicking them back to those 20, 25-year-old levels. And a lot of their autoimmune diseases seem to improve, at least clinically, even though we aren't actually treating the autoimmune disease. So does that answer your question?
How are you administering? Are you using creams or do you give them pills?
Pills for pregnenolone. It's absorbed very nicely.
You can buy that OTC at 50 milligrams. And I'm
yes.
just wondering, when you said high dose, what was considered high dose?
I take 100 milligrams at bedtime every night. We make a
20, 50, and hundreds in the clinic, but we measure levels. So
yes.
some people do fine with 20s and some people with 50s, some on any yeah. combination that they need, but we measure their labs.
Right. And personally, just because I am old and I am big, you know, I'm 6'4".
But that's what your levels, you know, you need.
That's where my levels
yeah.
are. And,
yeah.
and so I run pregnenolone levels in the 70s and 80s on 100 milligrams at bedtime every night. My biggest reason I take it is not so much joint pain. I take it because it helps me sleep well.
Also memory, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a.
Now, do you take yours in the morning or in the evening?
I take it at bedtime just because it
okay.
tends to make me a little drowsy.
Yeah.
Ah.
So
okay.
I use it with 10 milligrams of melatonin and 100 milligrams of pregnenolone at bedtime.
Mm.
Can I say one thing politically?
Feel free.
Sure, Tom.
We're Americans. It's our right to bitch.
Okay, I believe, and I think this COVID crisis pretty much demonstrated significantly that when it comes to pharmaceuticals, that the journals are pharmaceutically captured, and that mm-hmm. if that you know because biologics make lots and lots and lots of money.
$2,000 a month, yes.
yeah. If they would propose an inexpensive pill that you can get for $8.95, that they would be writing articles that would be of that would show that that doesn't work, and they have done that for mm-hmm. for these early intervention drugs into COVID, and yeah. I'm not going to go too far into that, but I'm just saying that I don't know how a doctor these days can actually believe what is written in the literature.
Okay. Well, let me give a little bit of a counterpoint to that, okay? I'm not a big believer in conspiracy theories. I think we often conflate outcomes with intent. I think the outcomes sometimes have more benign background to them, although the final result may well be exactly what you're saying. Here's the situation. To run a good study with a couple of thousand people, you're talking about a $500,000 or $600,000 study to get it done, and then get it published. And let me assume for a minute that you run a company, okay? You're the CEO of a company. And one of your guys comes to you and says, hey, boss, we want to spend $500,000 of your company's money to do a study on a product that we will never in a million years get the money back because it's over the counter and it's dirt cheap. Are you going to authorize spending $500,000 of your money on that? And the answer is no. Of course not.
No.
Yeah. And that's the situation with something like pregnenolone that is dirt cheap and is in the public and you can't patent it and you can't get control of it. How much money are you willing to spend on studies? And so the result is the studies don't get done. One of my rules of life is if you want to see where the reasons for most of what happens in the world is, follow the money.
The Apostle Paul said it years ago, the love of money is the root. Love, not money, but the love of money is the root.
That's right. No, I agree. You know, and I've been poor and it sucked. And I've been middle class and it was better. I've been affluent and that was better yet. And I've finally reached a point in my life where I make more than I ever dreamed, and this is best of all. So you're not going to hear me say bad things against affluence. I enjoy my affluence, but it's not why we do what we do. I became a country doctor because I was by nature a nurturer, and I was traumatized. You know, I had a degree of post-traumatic stress syndrome because of my military service. You know, I saw and committed more violence against other human beings than anybody should have to do. Call me a good guy or a devil, you know, I've killed more men than you see in the average horror movie. And when I got out of the service, I had to deal with that. And my way of dealing with that was to become a physician and devote my life to helping people instead of harming them. You know, we all have our reasons for becoming doctors. Mm-hmm. Samara's are different from mine, and all of my doctors have their own stories. But the reality is we as physicians are by nature nurturers, and that's what we want to do with our lives. But
Dr. Mixon, I believe that you are a high moral standard in that if you saw a drug that even though it was dirt cheap, you would really want it to be out there because you want to help people. But there's too many people that don't want to do that.
Yep. I agree. There's always, there are good people and bad people. And, you know, most human beings are a mix. You know, we are complex creatures. Most of us have good aspects to our bodies, our minds, and our personalities, and bad. And we just hope that our good outweighs our bad.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you
very
much.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Thank you for the call, Tom. This is Leading Edge Medicine talking about things that you are dealing with, your health, aging, maybe a recent diagnosis of cancer or Alzheimer's. In Tom's case, he wanted some information about pregnenolone and talk about pharmaceuticals there. We've had calls this morning on taking breast exams. How important are those? Also, supplements, vascular health, and so much more. The show is based on what you have questions about, and we would love to hear from you. Vern is next. Vern is a caller from Olympia, and we're going to talk about something called Meniere's disease. That's next on Leading Edge Medicine. And if you have a question, here's the number to call and be part of our show today live. 800-465-8770. We'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there.
Wanna dance to a band from Louisiana tonight.
Oh, we know this one. Yeah, Dr. Mixon dancing, Dr. Right. UMass got her shoulders going.
Get your fiddle up.
Oh, yes. Good morning. This is Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette here, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira UMass, talking about your health and taking your questions this morning. We're headed to Olympia, and we have Vern now on the line. Hi there, Vern.
Hello, Vern.
Good morning.
Good morning,
sir. Good morning, doctor. Yes, you know, first of all, I'd like to say the previous session you had was very interesting to me. I had never heard about, how is it pronounced again? Pregnenolone?
Pregnenolone.
Pregnenolone.
N-E-N-O-L-O-N-E.
Yeah. There you go, pregnenolone.
Okay, pregnenolone. Very good. I will do some more looking at that after we're off the phone here. It caught my interest because I have a 91-year-old mother who has, she's been through the cycle where she was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis, and then they said, no, it's not rheumatoid arthritis. But she's had several serious episodes that were treated with prednisone, and she takes prednisone on a routine basis. So that was why it was interesting to me.
Okay. Well, pregnenolone is a precursor hormone that is actually made in your adrenal glands, and then it is converted into a variety of other hormones, among them being cortisol, the endogenous anti-inflammatory steroid made by your own body.
And, you know, you mentioned your mom's age, 90. The pregnenolone really helps with memory as
well. It really does, yeah.
I think I'm going to have to look into it because it's, certainly the symptoms you describe, the difficulties you describe, I think it could help her. So
we use pregnenolone. I'm going to bet that 95%+ of our patients are on some dose of pregnenolone.
Yeah, almost everybody's on it.
My hand is up, yes. So,
yeah.
Okay, great. Well, my problem is it's a little bit different, and it may be autoimmune related, but there's not a lot of evidence and a lot of research out there on Meniere's disease. I was diagnosed with it about 6 years ago now, and I have lost almost all the hearing in my right ear, and my treatment options right now are very limited and primarily consist of over-the-counter supplements of something called French Maritime Pine Bark, which contains something called pycnogenol.
Yeah.
And then I take I don't drink any caffeine, no caffeinated beverages, no caffeine of any type, and I also abstain from all use of alcohol. I'm just curious because, you know, I don't know what else is out there, if there are any new treatments or any new, discussions. So
for Meniere's
sit back
disease.
And listen to the conversation. For Meniere's.
Okay. All right, Dr. Mixon, what is Meniere's disease listeners?
That was what, when she saw your call coming through, Lynette said, what's Meniere's?
Yes.
And I said,
I could spell it, but I didn't know what it was. Okay.
Well, you left off the comma.
Oh, the comma, yes.
Because it was Dr. Meniere's disease.
Ah.
He discovered it. The definition tells you a lot of what we know and don't know about this disease, all right? The definition of Meniere's is this: idiopathic endolymphatic hydrops.
That's a big word.
Idiopathic means we don't know why, right?
Okay.
Whenever you see a doctor use the word idiopathic, it is an admission of ignorance.
Okay.
Endolymphatic means it is the lymphatic fluid within your ear, and the hydrops says too much fluid and pressure. Okay. So the definition tells you almost everything we know about this damn disease.
Oh boy. What does it do, Dr. Mixon?
What happens is the lymphatic fluid in the inner ear just builds up and builds up and builds up, and the pressure causes dysfunction of the ear. You start getting things like vertigo.
Oh, no.
Dizziness. You can get nausea. You have trouble with your balance, your coordination. And then as the process goes on and on and on, you start damaging the hearing. The nerves that can, the acoustic nerve that carries the sound starts being damaged from the chronic pressure.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
And,
I think that there's some leakage too. The increased pressure causes the leakage from some of the, what do they call them? Vesicles in the inner
yep.
ear.
Hmm.
There's
yes.
a set of tubes.
That's right, and you can start running the fluid down your, you know, down your eustachian tubes into your throat too. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, the vertigo is disabling because it also seems to be connected to some nerves in your eyes. You get something called nystagma.
Nystagmus.
So when you
yeah.
have the yes, nystagmus.
Yeah.
When you have the vertigo attack, you literally can't see straight because your eyes are in spasm.
Yes, they're flitting. They're flitting left and right, and your brain interprets that as the world spinning around you, and which yeah. is why your balance ah. and coordination go to hell.
And you get dizzy, and then you get nauseous. Oh, what a horrible cycle!
Yes.
Well,
so.
It's not so bad if it only lasts a couple of hours, but I've had episodes that have lasted days, and I understand there are people who go through this for months at a time, and it's just,
yes.
like I said, it's fully disabling.
It is. And, you know, unfortunately, this is one of those diseases, I know what it is. I can even tell you about the pathophysiology of it, but I don't treat it because I treat the common normal changes of aging.
I see.
I am a longevity doctor, not a ENT physician. This is something that Samara's husband might know a whole lot more about.
Mm. Yeah, I texted him, but he's not responding, so I don't think he's listening right now. Sorry.
Yeah, you know, Sunil, Samara's husband, is an ENT surgeon. And so this would be right up his alley. He could probably tell us a whole lot more about it than either Samara or I know. Because you've...
Oh, he says he can call in.
Oh, okay.
Let me text him the number.
Tell him
okay.
call.
Okay.
So we're going to...
That's fantastic.
About,
yeah, thank you.
See? I told you, she married the right guy. I mean, he can help solve your problem, maybe.
There we go. Okay, we're texting him the phone number now, and he's going to call in. And I'm not sure if we're able to keep both you, Vern, and Doctor on the line. Our producer will let us know if we can keep both of you on the line. He's responding. Yep, I think we can. So let's wait for Dr. Sunil, who is a specialist, ENT, ears, nose, throat. He's the guy that knows all about the ears and probably has dealt with Meniere's disease in the past. I know my mom had this a while back. You know, maybe about a decade and for several years. And then it did go away. Mm. So that was encouraging. I knew I had heard about it at one point. So we'll get the scoop on this from Dr. Sunil. So stay on the line there, Vern. We're going to go to an early break. That way we don't have to break in the middle of talking about Meniere. So let's go to a break right now with our producer, and we'll be back to talk about what is Meniere's and how, or is there anything we can do about it? Are there new treatments? So Vern, you stay on the line, and we're waiting for Dr. Sunil Umat to call in. We'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. Stay right there.
Against the wind. We were running against the wind. We were young and strong when we were running against
the wind. Oh, somebody likes Bob Seger here.
Yes,
Dr. Mixon, yes.
Bob Seger.
Oh, yes. Running against the wind. Hi there. I'm Lynette. Dr. Samara Umat here. Dr. Jerry Mixon. We have Vern from Olympia on the line, talking about Meniere's disease, which is why we contacted Dr. Sunil Umat. Thank you, Dr. Umat, for calling in so we can find out more about Meniere's. I'm just going to hand it over to you to talk with Vern, see if there's anything that can be done for this.
Hey, good morning, Vern. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you, Doctor.
Sure. So I was listening in, and, you know, the Meniere's picture is sort of a little bit of a difficult one, but think of it really like blood pressure problems for the inner ear. And what you're describing with this fluid leak is when
the pressure gets so high that it actually, the little little vesicles or little membranes will break, and that's when people actually get the dizziness, because it's just a minor, almost like a little minor explosion or a tear in the membrane. So that leakage is because the pressure, the fluid pressure builds up so much. So you're right, the caffeine is an issue, but really more important is salt. Salt is one of those that, just like with your blood pressure, when you eat too much, it raises the pressure. Same thing happens in the inner ear. So caffeine, salt are the big ones. And then as far as medications, you know, we use the same kind of medications for menures as we do for blood pressure. Diuretics, we'll put patients on. Other medications which will help the acute episodes when you're sick and when you've got dizziness, you can take meclizine, the nausea medicines, the patches, things like that. But the idea is really to try to prevent these breakages and these inner ear fluid pressure buildups in the first place. That's where the diuretics come in. That's where the diet comes in. That's sort of the mainstay of treatment currently. There are some additional procedures that are now being done for patients with Meniere's disease. And typically that involves going into the ear and essentially enlarging that space where the fluid tends to build up. And then there's a sac called the endolymphatic sac, which is actually like almost like a sort of a pressure valve opening that, as it opens up, it's a pool of area where the fluid can move into. And we believe one of the reasons why people get Meniere's disease is because that duct and that sac is narrowed. So we can actually go in and enlarge that sac and drill away some of the bone around it to expand the spool so that when the pressure builds up, it doesn't break those membranes, thereby causing the dizziness. The problem with those breakage of the membranes is every time it breaks, you get dizzy, but also in addition, that's when you start losing the hearing, and gradually, especially in the low frequencies, is where people lose their hearing in Meniere's disease. So the idea is really to try to prevent this from progressing over time. And finally, in a way, the good news is that most people with Meniere's eventually do burn out. They eventually, their Meniere's slows down, but the bad news is that usually by then they've lost a lot of their hearing. So it still is important to try to get it treated early. What other questions?
And the hearing loss is, permanent, correct?
Well, it fluctuates. So whenever you get the dizziness, what most patients will complain is the triad of things. They'll say, "Doc, I suddenly got really dizzy. My hearing went down, and I got this nasty ringing in my ear. Sounds like a roaring noise." And that all goes together, and then some of the hearing recovers as those membranes seal back up. But again, every time you have an episode, little micro breaks, eventually the hearing continues to sort of go down and down. But you get these mini sort of drops, and then it goes back up. And that's where you want to try to get it at that stage before it gets really bad.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. I did forget to mention that I was on an ultra-low sodium diet for almost a year, and I was taking too much sodium out. And the doctor told me to go back to just a low-sodium diet, which is 2,500 milligrams a day, and I've been doing that too.
That I think is fine. You can do that, but seeing an ENT specialist, and there are dedicated ear specialists that are called otologists, that all they do is ears only. They may be the right person for you to see. There's a team at the University of Washington that we do that with, and they will give you all the right answers. But the diuretic might be an option for you early on, and that's something your primary care could even give you.
Okay. Okay, well, that's good information. I appreciate your time and your knowledge.
All right, you're welcome. You have a great day.
Thank you, Sunil. Okay. Yes. Were you out on your bike? Were you riding your bike this morning?
I just started my bike ride, and I was listening, as I always do on Saturday mornings. And I thought, well, before I get really intense on my ride, I'm going to stop and just stand here in the shade and actually give a response.
It's very good.
To get to give you guys a response in a timely fashion. So I appreciate the opportunity to help out.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Umat.
Enjoy your ride, my friend, and, you know, stay on the bike. Don't fall off.
That's right.
Thank you. All right. Take care. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling.
And thank you for the call, Vern, learning about Meniere's disease and, wow, the things that cause it and some of the things that are being done to help relieve some of that, maybe. Wow. That sounds like a scary thing, huh?
Yep. But I don't have it.
Okay.
But that long, you know, is the older I get, the longer the list of stuff I'm glad I don't have.
Yes. Right. True. Metal and shrapnel in the body is looking like it's a little smaller on the.
That was all young and dumb.
Yeah, so young and. Did you say young and dumb or young and done?
Yeah, young and dumb, but just, you know, young and stupid is pretty much a redundancy. They kind of go together.
No. Oh, we have about 25 minutes left of our show today and plenty of room on the phone now that we got Dr. Umat and Vern off the phone. If you have a question, phone lines are open for you. Call right now. Don't wait until 5 minutes before the show because we want to be able to answer your questions and talk with you about whatever is bothering you. 800-465-8770. That number is 800-465-8770. Dr. Umat, what have you been getting a lot of questions about at the clinic at Longevity? What are your patients concerned about or what types of things that you're attacking and working with?
Lots and lots of different things, you know. Okay. Obviously, our main focus is aging and healthy aging and what is involved in that. And the foundation of functional medicine is identify what is missing and replace it. So we start with the basic panel and then we build up on that. So we start with, obviously, as you're getting older, you're depleting in hormones. So we look at what is your hormonal status as you come in and how can we help build that up? What do we need to do? How many creams or what do we need to start with? And the reason for that is they're not just sexual hormones, they're cognitive hormones, they're brain hormones, they're functional hormones that perform a lot of different functions. And then one of the biggest things that, you know, I see the light go up in people's eyes when I talk to them about cholesterol, they sometimes come and they're on a statin medications. Like, you know, many physicians believe that statin should be in the water. But statins are given to help lower cholesterol. However, what people don't realize is sometimes their cholesterol level as they're getting older is increasing in an effort to make more hormone for them. Because they're getting older, their hormone levels are depleting and the body's trying to increase production of hormones by increasing cholesterol level. So cholesterol is necessary for everybody, but when cholesterol becomes a plaque in the lining of the endothelium and it ruptures and causes heart attacks and strokes, that's what we worry about as cardiologists. They worry about cardiac risk factors. And so they try to prevent that by lowering the plaque buildup or thrombus buildup. And so we have to balance that knowledge about when to use a statin effectively and efficiently, as well as when to allow hormones to build up, because hormones are important for brain function, for skin, for bone, for hair, for colon cancer risk, for breast cancer risk reduction. And so always trying to use, like earlier we talked about pregnenolone and arthritis. Well, pregnenolone is one of the mother hormones and it helps reduce dementia risk. It helps with, as we mentioned, joint symptoms, but also memory. It helps reduce risk for infections. It helps improving sleep quality. And so very important in our, you know, what we do.
Yes.
So we look at that basic approach. We look at nutrients, what is depleted, how can adding magnesium help improve bowel movements? How can magnesium help with memory? How can we use vitamin C to help lower LDL? How can we use niacin? So lots of different types of approaches that are more holistic, if you will, but at the same time using our medical science knowledge and avoiding side effects for patients and helping them dose appropriately.
Very good. Very beautiful balance of the medical and the natural and what we can do. This is Leading Edge Medicine talking with you about your concerns this morning. 800-465-8770 is the number to call if you'd like to get in on the conversation. And we have Jim on the line. Jim, you were listening in as we were talking about Meniere's, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and you had some comments?
Right. I had called your program about a year ago, I think, and then I talked about Meniere's disease. I first experienced it. I'm from another country, as you probably can tell from my accent. Mm-hmm. And I came to school in the U.S. in the late 70s. I had never seen snow in my life, and within about 3 months, I developed basically what became, I learned later on, was Meniere's disease. I had tetanus. I was throwing up. I was dizzy. I couldn't do my schoolwork. At the time, I was in Athens, Ohio. I was sent to West Virginia, sent to Ohio State University. And for 6 months, I couldn't go to school. So finally, I was referred to a doctor in Los Angeles, and it's the House Ear Research Institute. I understood at the time that that was the leading authority on that issue. So I was diagnosed. They gave me treatment, and it wouldn't stop. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have any options. I couldn't go to school. I couldn't do anything. And so I just decided that I was going to pray and ask for healing. You know, I think I told the story, and I was actually scheduled for surgery. I went to the hospital. They prepped me for the surgery. And then I asked the doctor again. You know, he said it was in my left ear. And he assured me that the best outcome would be that I would lose my hearing. And in that ear, basically, they were going to disconnect some wires there. And I said, okay, fine. So I asked him, what about, what are the chances that it will go to the right ear so that I will lose the hearing in both ears? And he said, it's possible. And I said, okay, then in that case, I don't want it. So I just prayed and asked the Lord to heal me right there. And I told the doctor, in Jesus' name, I'm healed. And then I just walked out of the operation room, basically. And after today, as I'm talking to you, I never had the Meniere's disease. It just disappeared, and I can hear from the left side of my ear, everything. and it is. And, you know, the Lord said that he will send his spirit to heal his people. And so that's what happened. It didn't happen to me.
Wow.
Good for you.
Yes, Jim, you're one of those miracle stories that the doctors write up in the medical journals.
Yeah, and then incidentally, I got to meet a gentleman by the name of Ronald Reagan at the clinic, because he also had problems with his hearing, and he had the same doctor. And later on, he became president of these United States. And it helped me with a lot of things. We went to the same church in Hollywood, Presbyterian Church, Dr. George Ogilvie. And then when he finished serving the United States, he had an office in L.A., and he helped my government a lot of stuff that he did for Africa. And so maybe the Lord, through that, you know, blessed my people through what Mr. Reagan did. And so I don't know whether I'd make medical sense, okay?
Well, we love hearing your story, Jim. Thank you for that.
I don't know whether I'd make medical sense, but
yes.
I'm an economist by profession. I'm also a historian. And this is what happened to me. You know,
okay.
And if anybody's listening, let's trust the Lord, you know, and
all right.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
Thank you for the
thank
call,
you for
sir.
That encouraging call, Jim.
Bye-bye, sir.
And I love that he went to church. Right. Yes, I loved that he went to church and had some connections there with Ronald Reagan. Boy, where is he now? Ronald Reagan. Yes. Yeah. He can't help us right now, can he? We're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. And we are going to talk about balance. David has a question, and we'll be back, and we have room for one or two more calls at 800-465-8770. Welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat and your phone calls. We appreciate when you call in and we love talking with you. If you're nervous about something or maybe a little fearful about some health things that are going on in your life or in a loved one, give us a call. It's okay to call on their behalf and ask questions. We have doctors here that care and want to know and want to help you get the best help that you can, at least get the information so that you know what you're dealing with. Here is that number to get through on the show today. It's 800-465-8770. And we have a caller on the line, David from Shoreline. Hi there, David.
Hello, David.
Good morning.
Hi, doctor, and hello. I just thought maybe I could add a little bit to the conversation here. I do attend... thank you. I do attend the Linwood Clinic, and I've been seeing Dr. Cho for about 10 years now, so I've been on the program for a long time. But I am a 77-year-old male, soon to be 78, and I've had this same balancing problem for years.
Balancing?
And what I have found out, if I share what works for me, would that be advantageous to mention that?
Absolutely. Yes. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, I've been seeing a... she is a certified vestibular therapist, and she's up in Linwood, actually. Mm-hmm. And I got turned on to her through ads on the radio here a few years back. And it's all, and she talks about, well, to put it in layman's term, rocks in the head. So the balancing thing up there. And she has some, she kind of works with your neck and head to balance things. But then there's a whole program that she has that I do that just works on balancing techniques. I could go through that, but it's rather lengthy. And it's really helped me a lot. So I thought I'd just kind of throw that out there, being that I am in the system, in the clinic and so forth. And I do have her name and stuff that would be of interest. You know, if you've heard anything about that, she is.
Feel free to, she's helping you. Feel free to give her name.
Yeah.
You know, that's, we're always willing to share information.
Yes.
Folks. Yeah, well, her name is Megan Criz, and it is it's Puget Sound ENT is what it is. Uh-huh. And she's a doctor of physical therapy, and she has fine-tuned the balancing end of things, and that's what she works with people that come in on just different exercises that you can do. That has really helped me a lot over the past couple of years. I'm a very active male, and something else I might throw out there, this may be a bit weird, but I've been rebounding for a lot of years. I have just a miniature rebounder, and that has always kind of helped me, and that seems to assist with my balancing as well.
Of course it does.
That's that little tiny trampoline that you bounce on? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. And I
the rebounder, yes.
That. Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just say it's basically a very unstable surface, and to stay on your feet, you have to work with your balance. Super.
Kind of wanted to add, too, if I may, that I used to sell these things, not anymore, but also along with that, supposedly the research behind this, it was an L. Carter that did a bunch of research this 20, 30 years ago, and supposedly at the top of the bounce and the bottom, you're weightless for a split second, and that weightlessness has a lot to do with kind of helping purge a lot of poisons out of your body and stuff, and I do this regularly every morning, and I'm a very active... Well, I guess what I want to say is that I do the bathroom morning thing that we all need to do, usually the sit one. And some mornings I do have difficulty, but if I go bounce on my rebounder for about 10 minutes, I can't get to the bathroom quick enough to take care of business. So, I just threw that out there.
That's great. That's great, David.
Yep.
These are the things I've stumbled onto. And again, like I said, I've been seeing Dr. Cho out there at the Linwood Clinic for about the past 15 years now. Yeah. So I've kind of been with you guys for a long time.
Yeah. Because my big problem with Dr. Cho is she keeps wanting to cut back and, and try to retire one of these days. But I've told her I'm not going to let her. She's going to still be working for me when she's 97. So
yeah, she's a trip. If she she hears this, she knows who I am. So
I bet she's listening.
Kind of person, but she's great. And I love her.
And if I know her, she's listening.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for the call, sir. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Very good. Bye. All right. Thank you so much, David. We have another caller, and we also have a question off air with a caller in Woodinville wanting to know, 70 years old, wanting to know the effectiveness of acoustic wave therapy, how effective it is, what it is, and does it help diminish diminishing return? So there you go. Acoustic wave therapy.
Well,
what
that's our
Viasure.
That's our Viasure.
Oh, that's your Viasure. Okay. Yeah. Oh, the sound wave therapy.
Yeah, and we use it for ED, mm-hmm. and now we're starting to use it for
MSK and BPH.
Yeah, for prostate hypertrophy and for ligamentous injuries in the shoulders and knees and backs and hips and so on.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's useful for a whole lot of reasons.
And that's our Viasure, and our longevity patients can use it. But also this is offered to people that are not longevity patients. Yes. Is that right?
Correct.
That's correct.
Yeah. So, sir in Woodinville, if you'd like to call and make an appointment for a consultation on this, get some information, you can do that. The item that you're asking about or the procedure is called Viasure, V-I-A-S-U-R-E. And you can probably go into your Linwood or Kirkland clinic. And here is the number to call to get more information on that. It's 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. That's also the phone number to call to get in for that free health analysis at our longevity clinics. And we have three, not just Linwood, not just Kirkland, also in Tacoma. And if you've been listening to the show, I love it when somebody will say, I have a question and I'm also a longevity patient. We love and we welcome those questions. And we want you to be as healthy as you can as you are aging. Whether you're 40, listening to the show, 50s, in your 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and beyond, we want you to be, what is that, Dr. Mixon?
Stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier.
Absolutely, which makes you...
happier.
Absolutely. And the way to do that is by taking that first step in calling us.
I studied for this quiz.
Yes, you did. And you passed with flying colors. You must be a longevity patient. We want to get you in. We want to find out what, as Dr. Mixon said, life has done to you so far. And do a couple of tests. And Dr. Umat, you can explain that blood test, which I think we know is probably a blood draw. But the in-body test, what does that tell our doctors?
The in-body tells us about all the hidden fat that you want to hide from us.
Oh, boy.
That's why when yesterday they asked me to get on that machine, I said, heck no.
Dr. Umat, you look fantastic. You should jump right on there. And
I think they were testing the machine. They were kind of duplicating the results or printing two or three copies, and the machine was showing an error. So they needed a volunteer, and because my office is right next to it,
there you go.
Jump on that
machine.
I looked at them and said, why?
Because.
Yes, and the machine loves you.
How skinny you're getting.
That's right.
Yeah, but no. It's a great tool, actually. We really enjoyed having the tool in the office. What it tells us is about muscle versus fat ratio. Mm-hmm. Fat is bad, muscle is good. Sometimes we can't tell the difference, and as we get older, we tend to lose muscle quickly, and we tend to store the fat, and we tend to keep looking the same, and people think that they look great. Unfortunately, loss of muscle mass or sarcopenia is real. It happens as we get older, and we want to prevent that for you. And so for that reason, we'd like to know, what is your muscle mass? Where are you building it? And if you're not building it, how can we help you build it? So it comes down to, again, the functional medicine approach, and that's why we do the in-body.
Okay. And those are the two tests, that, and then the blood test tells the doctor what?
It's an important test, and technically it's hemoglobin A1C, so just one number. But when we look at it, we're looking at a whole lot more than just the glycosylated hemoglobin level. We're looking not just for prediabetes or diabetes. We're looking for memory problems, inflammation, arthritis, degenerative joint disease, cancer risk. Mm. So we're looking at a whole lot of metabolic issues that are reflected in that one number.
Now, there's another blood test that shows so much more information, that big blood panel. I know this is the one that my girlfriend paid $2,000 for to have this done, but you do it right in the clinic. So there is a cost, but it's quite a bit different, just under $600.
Correct.
But what does that give the doctors? I know it's a lot of information.
It's a basic look at sugar, hormones, first of all, and most importantly, a whole cascade of hormones.
Eight different hormones.
Yeah, and then just, you know, how they flow, like from cholesterol to pregnenolone to progesterone, estrogen and the different types of estrogens, thyroid hormones, testosterone. And then we look at the basic, which your primary cares will also do, CBC and CMP, but a whole lot of in-depth. The one thing that a lot of people don't do right now is give you a sugar load and see what's happening to your insulin levels when you're given sugar. That tells us the risk for non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, insulin resistance, risk for developing prediabetes and type 2 diabetes. So we're looking at a whole host of different issues that people don't pay attention to. Nutritional, we'd look at basic vitamin D and vitamin B12 level, but we will do more in-depth analysis after we get this preliminary data. And then the two other tests that are specialty tests are the APOE genetic markers for risk for dementia and your telomere test, which tells us chronological age versus biological age and what we need to do to help improve your biological age.
Okay, so if you come in at 60 years old and the telomeres are telling you that you're more closer to 75, there's some work that needs to be done.
Exactly.
However, you probably have 75-year-olds that come in and are feeling as though they are 10, 15, 20 years younger.
Indeed.
And that's what we want, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the goal at Longevity Medical Clinic. How long have you been around, Dr. Mixon? How many years when you started? Okay, we know he's almost 76, but how long has Longevity Medical Clinic been around?
Started the clinic in 1998.
Okay, we're so coming up on 25 years of caring for you and your health as you are aging. The goal has never changed. You want people to be leaner, stronger, faster, smarter, and
sexier.
Yes.
Which makes them happier.
Which makes them happier. And Dr. Mixon, you've even written a book, and we're going to talk about that in just a moment. But if you'd like to come in and take those two free tests, it's what we call the free health analysis appointment. Get into this, get into the Longevity Medical Clinic as soon as you can. Here's the number to call, 866-86-YOUNG. You can even call right now. We have somebody that can get you scheduled at a clinic near you in Linwood, Tacoma, and Kirkland. That number again is 866-86-YOUNG. You can also go online to lmclinic.com. Just a couple minutes here, or 1 minute, I guess. Dr. Mixon, you've been talking about writing a book. When can we see this book of Dr. Mixon's?
It's going to be out this winter. You know, I've got the final editing being done right now.
Very good. And some pictures taken for the book.
And pictures for the cover. We've selected all that.
Oh, good.
And, the printing and distribution and so on will be in the wintertime.
All right. And we'll get to see that sometime before Christmas. So for those of you, I'm thinking this would make a great gift for somebody, especially for those milestone birthdays. Here you go. You want to make it to your 70s, your 80s, your 90s, maybe be a centenarian?
Centenarian.
Yes, this will be the book, and as soon as we get it, we'll talk more about that. Thank you so much for being a part of our show. This is Leading Edge, brought to you each week by Longevity Medical Clinics in Kirkland, Tacoma, and in Linwood. And we would love for you to be a patient at Longevity. Again, the phone number to call for more information and to make that appointment for the free health analysis, it's 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. All right. We will be back again next week right here on the show. Mark Holland is going to fill in for me next week. But you come back and be a part of the show live.